It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Welcome in. 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, it's time for the Clay Millen Show, presented by the one and only Crazy Carl's Pizza. We were off last week as a bye week was up next for Colorado State, but now they look to go on Friday night against Nevada, Coach Jay Norvell's old team. We'll get into some of that hoopla a little bit, some of the drama surrounding the Wolfpack. But Clay, my man, how are you, dude? Good to get you back on the show.
I'm good. How about you? Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, always, man. I look forward to these conversations. I love you jumping on. And again, speaks to who you are. You know, no, I know it's not the way you wanted to start this season, both both X's and O's, and then, of course, the injury, or we'll talk about that. But you're always ready to jump on, man, and I just love that about you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right, so I got to address the elephant in the room. Game's on Friday. How we feeling? I doubt you can break news here with us, Clay. But how's the shoulder holding up? What can you tell us at least?
Yeah, so I can say it's getting better. It's a day by day kind of thing. So I mean, I went down in the second quarter last week, and that was disappointing. But it's getting better. I'm just trying to improve every single day. So that's a that's what I'll be giving you.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you trying, Clay. I'm just gonna read between the lines and take it how I will, and then let the audience do the same thing. But either way, we're looking forward to this game. I know you guys. You just want to get back out there. What was the bye week like for you? I mean, was that some deep soul searching stuff going on, or what does the bye week look like for you guys, Clay?
Yeah, so we just practiced Monday through Thursday, and then we got the weekend off. So it's kind of nice to get a little weekend off and actually be, a college student for once. And it was kind of weird not having football for a Friday. So it was nice just to go hang out with people and have some fun and just relax. So the bye week is kind of just a good week just for me, especially after, last week getting hurt, just to kind of relax and just enjoy myself. So that was kind of the main thing that I was trying to do, is just focus on everything kind of outside of football on the weekend and just have just downtime and relax and enjoy myself, because we're always, it's just 24/7 football when it's more through the game week. But on bye week, on the weekend, I try just to sit back a little bit and just enjoy myself while I got the free time.
Clay, we always kind of talk about this, us talking heads, when is a good time to have a bye week, whether that's the NFL or college or whatever. And in this case, let's face it. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on with injuries and transfer news, and it's just been a rough go to start the season. Maybe this was the perfect time, like you said, just kind of get away for a little bit and just try to put your mind in a different place for, maybe a few hours, whatever, and then try to reload and prepare as you guys, you're really jumping into to Mountain West play starting up on Friday.
Yeah, I think it literally was a perfect timing for our bye week, because I think we're going to be getting guys back this week that we wouldn't have been able to have back the following week or if we would have played last weekend. So it's really a perfect time. We've got a lot of guys banged up and injuries, and, like you said, some guys have left the team, and that's just kind of how it goes early in the season. When it's week four, some guys want a red shirt, and I wish them the best of luck, and that's their choice. But now, kind of after this week, we'll definitely have seen, because guys can't really red shirt anymore. After that, we'll pretty much know all the guys that are bought in and everything. That's pretty much my thoughts. I think so. Like you said, I think it was a perfect time for a bye week, get the guys rested up, and so we'll be. We're having a lot more guys back for the Nevada game, which would be good for us.
Clay, we're talking to Clay Millen. It's the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And you said it, after that, now we get into this week where we're going to kind of know who we have, who's here. And that's the state of college football. That's not a CSU thing. That's all over the country. You get to this week or so, and teams are going to go, all right, this is our group. It's kind of like the trade deadlines when we talk about the NFL and the NBA and major leagues. Do you feel kind of a sense of like you guys are galvanized now? Like this is our group. We're together. And whoever was gone there, I wish them luck, whatever. But this group that's staying here, is there a sense of almost you're like at peace with that? Like, these are our guys. We're ready to finish to go into the midpoint of the season, finish the season strong.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I wish obviously the guys that have left the best of luck. I was teammates with them, so I wish nothing but the best for them with their decision. But at the end of the day, you know, we kind of got the group that we got now, and those are all the guys that are staying. So we're excited about it. We got all the guys that are bought into the program. And that's really what you want to ride with. You know, you don't really want guys that are playing and are just thinking in the back of their head they want to leave. So we got the guys now that are all bought in. So we're excited about that. And rock with these guys with the rest of the year. So it'll be good for us in the locker room to have everyone bought in.
Clay, how much do you pay attention? Obviously, this is an interesting game because it's Coach Norvell. It's you. I mean, Nevada, there's a lot of Nevada people, Nevada guys that came to Colorado State, now calling Fort Collins home and everything. So this is an interesting game. You have Nevada fans, I think, are getting pumped for this game, which I kind of was joking on the show. I was like, man, Jay Norvell's still helping Nevada sell some tickets over there. So, but how much do you pay attention to some of the drama? Like Ken Wilson, the head coach for Nevada, kind of goes into this, you know, hey, you know, when he left, when Coach Norvell left, they leave their team before a bowl game, then they take players and tell players not to play in the bowl game and tell players to go to the NFL draft. That was a tweet. Someone tweeted that. And your guy, Torrey Horton, just wrote, yeah, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. What did you make of all that stuff? Did you read up on it? Are you did you see it? And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really try and pay too much attention to social media or anything. You know, I just try and stay off for the most part. You know, I'll go on Instagram here and there, but Twitter a lot of the time we'll just try and stay off there. But yeah, you know, I did hear about the comment from some teammates. I think I saw like a quick portion of it, but you know, I mean, I was at Nevada last year, and so I think, you know, I enjoyed my time there. I enjoyed being a Wolfpack. You know, I made some great connections with old teammates we played against. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to try and be careful here and just keep my thoughts to myself pretty much, you know, but that, you know, I agree with what Torrey said. You know, that's some of that stuff, you know, it's not true. I'm not going to really get deep into it. So, yeah, I think, you know, we follow the protocols with the way things went and the way we transferred over, you know, we followed everything. And so I think I think the players, obviously, that all chose to enter the portal, and you know, once we're in the portal, then we got recruited by Colorado State. So that's what happened. And, you know, I'm not going to get too much into the drama, so I'll just try and be careful. You know? And that's the route I'll choose.
Well, and again, I know when we first talked to you, I was like, hey, what was that process like? And you laid it out just like you did right there. But mentally, you know, you knew what you were going to do when you saw the news. And nobody, you told us weeks ago, you're like, nah, nobody came up to me and said anything. As soon as I saw the news, I knew where I wanted to go. And I would imagine that's what, same with Torrey Horton, same with all these other guys. I mean, in this day and age, you're going to get found out if you're doing shady stuff. We see it all the time. So, I mean, what you told us is like, hey, we already kind of knew. We didn't need any convincing.
Yeah, there's no telling. No one ever told me, do not play in the bowl game. It was, you know, it was our choice to come over. We wanted that to the transfer portal as the players. And then once you're in the portal, we were able to talk to coaches. So that's the way things went down, and there was never any – don't play in the bowl game. That was words of promise were never said to me or anything.
Well, and I guess, Clay, what I have the problem with, like, Ken Wilson saying he heard that. You know, like, if you're a head coach of a program, and I won't, you know, you don't have to comment on that or whatever, but if you're head coach of a program, if you have some concrete proof and you heard it, what, or you saw it, you were actually there while it was taking place, okay, I guess we can talk about it. But I'm not a big fan of just coming out saying, well, I heard that was what was going on. And that's kind of where I drew the line to, like, man, I'm not listening to any more of this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just kind of focused on us, you know, whatever comments around us, you know, we're fine with that. Like I said, I still had a great time in Nevada. I still have a lot of good connections with my old teammates, and I had a great time there. So any of the other drama going around, block it out, really engage with. So sorry about my, you know, brief comment.
All good, my man. All right, we'll take a short break. We're going to have some fun. We got Getting to Know Clay presented by Ent Credit Union coming up in the next break. Already getting some good questions in. I have a lot of people that have questions like outside of football, Clay, like about movies, video games, stuff like that. So I hope you're ready for that. This one's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right, man. We'll take a short break. It's the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
Price, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 20 minutes after 1 o'clock. A little upbeat tunes for us on this Monday. It's the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. This is where we get to know Clay a little bit, thanks to our friends at Ent Credit Union. Clay is a big partner with Ent Credit Union all season long. So if you guys have questions while we're in the middle of this, you can text 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Clay, this first one does have something to do with Friday's game, so I lied a little bit. Clay, having transferred from Reno to Fort Collins, what are you expecting Friday? Is it going to be strange being back there for you personally?
Yeah, I think it'll be a cool environment. You know, obviously there's going to be a little bit of tension, you know, but I mean, it'll be cool to be back in Reno. I enjoyed my time there, like I said. You know, I had a good time being a student there. I met some good friends there. I'll be excited to go back. But like you said, there'll be a little bit of tension. There's a little bit of drama around this game, but it'll be fun. I think both sides are excited about it. Anytime you kind of get, you know, a little bit of bad blood behind the game, you know, the game is always fun to go into. So I'll be excited to get down there and get back in Reno. And just being back there will be cool for me, just, you know, because I have that path. The past year there, and so I had a good time there, so it'll be good to just be back there.
Yeah, no question, man. I'm looking forward to it. Here's another follow-up question from a texter here. What are your thoughts on playing on Friday nights?
Yeah, I think it'll be a really cool environment. I think they're going blackout for the night game, and but I think that'll be cool to see them. And I'll have all some buddies after the game, and obviously that I'll get to talk to. But I think the entire team, we're just fired up to play. You know, we get a chance to get – have a bunch of guys get healthy. You know, we had some injuries, like we said, but now that we get kind of that bye week to regroup and just focus on 2 weeks on the bat, I think we're all excited just to get back out there and play and, you know, just continue improving each week. I think that's a big thing we're looking forward to.
Yeah, like you said, man, I like watching college games on Friday night. I kind of feel like my focus is honed in because it's one or two games you can really focus on as a fan anyway. Okay, Clay, I was getting a bunch of this stuff last week, and I've kind of collected them over the weeks now. But these are more or less questions outside of the football field, which maybe is a good thing fitting because you just came off of your bye week. All right, this one's a tough one. Favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie? Okay, I'm gonna be completely honest here. Just gonna go. I think my favorite movie might be Wolf of Wall Street. I think that's definitely my go-to favorite movie.
That's not a bad pick at all, dude. I'm a Leo guy, so yeah. I mean, he's one of my favorite Gangs of New York. So I mean, anything that he's in is typically pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So here's another one for you. They want to know: are you a video gamer? Do you play video games?
Me, I was in high school, but kind of once I got to college, I never, like, I literally have an Xbox in my room and I haven't set it up yet, because just kind of the free time that we don't get a lot of that. When I go back to Arizona, I do like to play video games with my brother and stuff, but out here I try and, you know, try and relax in the video games.
Is there a go-to, though, when you get away that you find yourself playing? Or is it like a Halo-type deal or Fortnite or anything? Or is it like whatever's lying around I'll put on?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the time, you know, the time of the year almost. You know, I'll play some Madden, you know, when Fortnite was trending, I'd play some of that. Play some GTA, you know, play some 2K. So kind of just depends on, you know, the vibe and what new game is out and what's popular, so. That's usually what I'll play.
Yeah, like you said, man, with your schedule, it's hard. It's probably hard to find that time. But maybe down the road, something you pick up down the road, pick up even more of it. This one's kind of along the same side of favorite movies and stuff. Do you have a favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? I would say I do not. I think I kind of just go on Netflix sometimes, and I'll find a show, and I'll watch it, I'll binge watch it. And then other than that, I would definitely say I don't have a favorite TV show.
Not a big Cobra Kai guy or anything like that?
No.
Do you know what that, like, did you know of the Karate Kid? Did you ever see those movies?
Yeah, I did. Growing up, I did watch those movies. So I actually saw on Netflix. I never watched it, but I remember scrolling through, and I did see that. And so like, I glanced at it, and it was a thing. So, but don't know too much about it, but that's what I saw.
If you had to pick like a genre, though, of TV shows, would it be comedy? Would it be like Game of Thrones style, zombies, Walking Dead, cop stuff? Like, is there something in particular that if you were to try to really get into a TV show that you would choose?
Probably, I think I would go with definitely like comedy or just something like suspenseful, like some of that stuff I like, just like something that keeps you on the edge of your seat. So any of those kind of shows I enjoy.
All right, here's another one. Favorite sport outside of football?
Ooh.
How about this one? Favorite sport to watch and then favorite sport to play outside of football?
Favorite sport to watch. I definitely say I'd have to go with basketball school.
Nice.
That's definitely the two.
Oh, is that the same with like playing too? Like if you were going to go play a pickup game of something, would it be the same thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Okay, here's a good one I got from the 970. What was your favorite subject, like favorite class in high school?
Oh, boy. I think, honestly, I think it was literally just based on the professor I had. I think whatever professor you thought was the coolest, I think, was always usually my favorite class. So it wasn't really about the class I took. I liked science a little bit, but, you know, if I didn't have a professor that I didn't really like as much, then I definitely wouldn't be my favorite class.
All right, I got one for you then. I'm thinking of teachers. If Jay Norvell was not a football coach, but he was a teacher, what class would he teach?
I think he'd probably teach history class.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
He seemed like he'd be a good history teacher. He seemed like he'd be a solid teacher.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Favorite class now? Like, was there a favorite class in particular in college that you favor?
Oh, boy. I think principles of microeconomics isn't bad. I mean, I definitely don't think I have a favorite one. I think I just kind of, you know, try and dwell on them. But there's no class that I really go to. I'm like, yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
Hopefully CSU offers history of rock and roll. That was my favorite. That and lunch.
Yeah.
Do they still do that at college? I don't know. Those were always my favorite. Okay, last one. Since it's October, are you a Halloween guy or not? Do you get into Halloween or is it like, this is weird, people dressing up, it's strange?
No, I think Halloween's cool. I'm not a huge Halloween guy, but I think it's cool. I respect the holiday and, you know, I hang out with my friends on Halloween night, so... Yes, I definitely enjoy Halloween.
I don't dress up and get crazy. I'm too old now, Clay. Yeah. That's just weird for me. But I do like, you know, all the scary movies and the decorations and everything. I get into that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, you did well. This was, we took you through the gamut today. We wanted to do something different. I've been getting these texts over the last few weeks, so I wanted to piece them together for you. But great work by you. You passed with flying colors yet again.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll turn the page. One more segment with you. We'll keep it short because I know you got to get going. Rock and roll short week for you guys with Friday's game. So we'll take a quick break. It's the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. That was Getting to Know Clay. Thanks to our great friends at Ent Credit Union. They're doing amazing things all along the Front Range. 28 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Again, you're listening to the Clay Millen Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Welcome back in. 33 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And Clay, we're turning the page here. We're getting set. You guys now jumping into Mountain West play. And I know that's a brand new season. That's kind of the way, you know, you want to look at this. Obviously, a rough game against Sacramento State, going up against Nevada on Friday night. What's this week like for you coming off of a bye, but it's also a short week in the same sense since it's a Friday night game? What is your practice schedule? What does all that look like this week for you guys?
Yeah, so we practice Sunday and we practiced on Monday too, and so we'll practice Sunday through Thursday, so we'll get a day ahead. We usually don't practice on Sunday.
And so, yeah, that's kind of what it looks like for us for the week. You know, we just get ahead of it a day extra earlier, fly out a day earlier, and, yeah, so everything's just bumped up one day ahead pretty much for us.
How much, like, when you're watching film of Nevada, you know, they played, well, their last game was against Air Force, but we always hear this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Clay, but teams play Air Force, you're a different team than you normally are because you have to do so many different things to play Air Force. How much of a focal of film is that, the Air Force game, or do you go back and look at the Iowa games, the Incarnate Word games, the Texas State games, or is Air Force getting equal attention?
Yeah, no, we definitely look more at Incarnate Word and yeah. Iowa. You know, we definitely look at Incarnate Word, Texas State the most because those offenses are two of the most similar offenses that we have. So we definitely don't look a lot at Air Force. So
right,
yeah, that's kind of what we do. I mean, so based on pretty much every single week, we try and just pick out teams that on film are similar to our offense, and we just try and see the looks the defense gives us based on what they showed against those teams, because we're, you know, assuming that they'll be doing the same thing to us.
And that is always so crazy, too, when you talk about film study and watching. The Air Force game's different. Like, anybody that goes up against Air Force, they kind of say that game is like its own book, not even in the same same chapter or anything. It's completely different. So certainly makes it unique playing them all the time and then playing their opponents, too. But when you look at Nevada, Clay, what can you tell us as far as, you know, what sticks out for you, you know, on the defensive side, going up against a defense? Of what they've been doing. Obviously, you know, they gave up 27 to Iowa. They gave up 55 to Incarnate Word. So what kind of sticks out as you're progressing through your film study this week?
Yeah, so obviously for me, you know, I was from Nevada last year, so I know a bunch of those guys out there. I know some of their strengths and some of their weaknesses that I'm able to know because obviously I was practicing with them every single day, which is kind of nice to have. But yeah, so I think, you know, Incarnate Word against them, they threw for a lot of yards. You know, they didn't throw a lot of attempts, and they had a lot of explosive plays against them. So there's been some stuff in film where they've given up some explosive plays in the passing game. I think that you got some good players up front. You know, Don Peterson is a good player. We'll definitely have to plan for. And I think, you know, I think they're a solid team. And obviously, I know those guys, like I said. You know, I know what every single a lot of them can do well and what some of them can't do as well. So I think that's definitely an advantage, knowing, you know, I practiced against them for an entire season last year. So, yeah.
Well, and you know, as we talked about to start the show, they're certainly building this narrative of, hey, we got to go up against this team. We got a lot of guys that were here last year. We're gonna make this. We're gonna go at this like this is our Super Bowl. You know that they want to win this game. They're rallying up the fans. They're trying to get the fans in. Have you guys talked much about that? Just, you know, again, not the drama side of it, but just the fact that, hey, a coach that we had last year is there. A bunch of players that were on our team are now there. You know that they want this game probably more than any game they've wanted all year.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I think obviously, you know, just for the reason you just said, you know, the coach came over here, and you know, a lot of the players came over here, including myself. So I think, you know, probably to them, some of that stuff might be personal to them. And I think that, you know, just overall, I think that that's going to obviously make this a big game because there's some past relations, obviously, with our coach and obviously the players. I think, you know, it's definitely a different game. I think they're all fired up to play against us. You know, I think they obviously want revenge. You know, I think some of those players probably aren't too happy with some of the players that left and the coaches, obviously. So I think they're going to be all riled up. You know, we try not to focus on the outside noise, you know, whatever comments are said and everything. We try not to think about it, talk about it, you know, every single game. You know, we try and prepare for it the same. You know, we said from week one against Michigan, we're not going to, you know, have this huge rah-rah speech before Michigan and then for the rest of the other games, you know, just not have that. We're going to treat every single team the way we should treat them. You know, obviously we know there's a little bit of tension here in this game, but we're still going to, you know, go out there and play our hardest, like you said, and just not focus on any of the stuff really that's around it and just go in there and focus on winning this game and executing our plan.
Well, and I know you kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, but taking each, you know, 4 weeks into chunks or what have you, or each 3 weeks and just kind of saying, hey, this is a part of the season, this is a part of the season. But any coach will say, hey, when you get out of non-conference play, you jump into conference play, for better or worse, you kind of do, you don't want to forget – everything that happened in the first 4 weeks, but you want to use some of that, what you can, to build on. But this is a brand new season. This is the one that counts the most.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I mean, obviously I think that, you know, the non-conference games matter, but what really matters is, you know, how you do in conference play. You know, you can go 0-4 and still win the conference. So for us, it's just focusing on us and getting better each week and looking back on the first four games. And obviously there is a lot of stuff that we need to clean up and a lot of areas we need to improve in quickly to be successful in this conference. But I think it was kind of good to the first four games to see the areas we need to improve in and watch that. And go on film and get ready to play for Mountain West play and really start our season this week.
Well, Clay, we're wishing you the best of luck, man. We'll keep an eye out for you. We are all hoping that you're good to go on Friday, but we shall see. And either way, man, we just wish you and the rest of the team the best of luck this Friday night.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. There he is, Clay Millen of the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Also, shout out to Ent Credit Union for helping us put this thing together. Angel, maybe this is the kind of game that you need to restart everything. It's a Nevada team that wants to beat you. They're talking some mad smack over there in Reno. And maybe this is the game to light that fire. You had your bye week. As Clay mentioned, this is the perfect time. We're getting some guys back. We're getting some healthy guys here. Maybe if that line can hold up, CSU can walk away and get... How big would a win be right now for CSU? I mean, the expectations have changed, sure. But if you can go into Nevada and beat this, beat a team, win, go 1-0 in conference play to start, I mean, it'd be freaking huge.
We talked about it the last couple of weeks, how one win can change the entire perspective of a program or a team or a culture that you're trying to build up there. And a win against Nevada, against the team that he formerly coached at, or a team where all these players transferred from, it would be a nice, just a moral victory and a big conference victory. And I think I heard him say they were having a blackout for this game. I think back to when Georgia and Alabama played back in like 2008. Georgia had a blackout game, and one of the quotes from one of the players was, "Oh, they're wearing all black. It must be for their funeral."
I wonder if Clay kind of chuckled when he said that. He kind of chuckled when he said that. You think he was thinking it? Didn't want to say it?
Possibly.
yeah, man. I mean, listen. I'm viewing this CSU thing as through very logical lenses, where my expectations are gone. That's fine. That doesn't mean that it changes my view of what Jay Norvell's going to be, of what this staff's going to be. I've still, right now, my confidence in them in the long run isn't shaken. This year, I overshot. I thought, no, this team's going to be there quickly because maybe I completely overestimated. Maybe I completely gave Jay Norvell too much unrealistic credit. Because even when he was in Nevada, they won 3 games his first year. So, and this whole thing that he's trying to do is way different than what Adazio was trying to do. I don't know who the coach was before Norvell was at Nevada. I don't know what his style was or anything. I don't know how big of an overhaul, big of a change that it was. But I know that this is a big one. For better or worse, you can call it making excuses. This is a completely different program that I think we all just kind of fell in love with in the offseason. And rightfully so. I'm not saying don't. And I think you should absolutely still be optimistic. I just think that this year's probably going to be about growing pains. Maybe they change that. You win on Nevada. I know you hate this, Angel, but you see the ball go through the hoop. That's sometimes you just need to see it to know that it actually works, that the ball can go through that basket. No. Okay. That rim is regulation size. I can make some shots. If you're CSU, it's the same thing. If you can just see a touchdown in the first quarter, you know, a lead late in the second, and suddenly you're going, okay, we can do this. We don't have to beat ourselves up so badly. We can hang with college football teams. We can do this. And again, I could see it going both ways, man. I could see this turn out to be another rough outing for CSU because, to be honest, we haven't had enough positives. The only positive I have is the third quarter of that Middle Tennessee game. That showed me that they can do this. Can they do what they did in that third, bottle that up, and start to use it in a full game? get up early, not have crazy pick sixes and fumbles and, you know, sacks that cost you 10 yards and it's second and 20 and then it turns into second and 25, a false start or something. Can you get off to a good start against a team in Nevada that's not very good either? But I'm, you know, I'm kind of at this point where I'm not looking at any game right now going, that's a win, that's a win. I need to see CSU put the ball through the hoop, man, and that's hopefully going to happen on Friday night. 44 minutes after the hour, we're going to come back. We'll get into more Broncos aftermath. Can we turn the page? We have to, because they have a shorter week than, well, CSU had the bye, but they're playing on Thursday. We got Broncos Thursday. We got Rams on Friday. I'm looking forward to all of it. Maybe it'll be a positive weekend here. Maybe the Broncos can change the narrative from being negative about Nathaniel Hackett, negative about Russell Wilson, negative about Melvin Gordon and the whole running back depth chart, as we learned earlier today that Javonte Williams is out for the season. 45 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here today. Thanks to Clay for popping on and talking to us a little bit more about Nevada Week, which is Friday night. And do appreciate Brian Howell helping us navigate through what's next for the Colorado Buffaloes. I just think the most fascinating name is Troy Calhoun on this list. But the knock on Calhoun is going to be, okay, can you do things outside of crazy option stuff? Because that's not going to fly on a regular. Which why wouldn't it fly, Angel? Is that because you're asking your offensive line, you know, to run the triple option the way they do? You have to have a smaller offensive line.
Sure, you're asking the offensive line to change. You're asking your quarterbacks to change. You would recruit different quarterbacks. You would recruit different types of running backs. Your offense would just be a fundamental change.
Could Air Force survive in the Pac-12? Like the style that they play right now. Because again, your offensive linemen are nothing, are not, you know, not the size compared to defensive linemen like Washington has or Oregon has or whatever. So would that style not work on a consistent basis? Now it works in the Mountain West because you're not always dealing with defensive linemen and linebackers that are just massive human beings. They're big guys, but they're not what you see consistently at the Power 5 level.
Yeah, I mean, I instantly think of Georgia Tech, just a team that's runs that triple option, you know, wing type of offense, and they've been semi-successful with it. It's always, you know, whenever you see a triple option team on your schedule, you're like, oh, man, we got to make sure we extra prep for that because it is a very difficult offense to defend, but if you can run it effectively, it can be very, very useful.
Which is, that's why it's weird for me, like, why don't more teams try to adopt it? And I've always been told the answer from a lot of players, too. They're like, yeah, it's the size difference. I mean, it's just easier to get bigger guys that can move people around. But if you can find the right combo, then again, you're finding very unique offensive players. You got to, not everybody can play offensive linemen in a triple option system. I mean, that's, there's a lot of guys that can be an offensive lineman for, you know, Oregon or whatever, because we're just asking you to block like a typical block. It's not saying it's easy, but we're asking you to do something completely different for if you come to Air Force.
Yeah, and you're outside of the players, your coaching staff also has to be fairly competent enough to be able to coach up your offensive linemen and your running backs and quarterbacks to get through that system.
True. Rough Monday, man. It was supposed to be the Bronco Blues Day where we just talk about how bad our lives are after watching the Broncos-Raiders game, watching the Broncos lose, but then you get the Javonte Williams story and you're like, it's worse. It's such a key contributor, and again, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, this guy was not utilized the right way. And I don't know if that was going to be something that was building on. I thought Melvin Gordon early in the season was getting more looks than he should have. where Javonte sometimes got ignored or what have you. Well, here it is, man. I mean, the talk was about Melvin Gordon. It was about, can he be trusted? In fact, our poll question earlier was, should they just eliminate him from getting carries? He's just used in blocking and pass catching situations. Obviously they've got to keep him on the roster. Now that's done, that doesn't mean anything anymore, because suddenly Melvin Gordon, you have a chance now, because out of pure desperation and necessity, you're all we got. You are all we got. Mike Boone, okay, but Gordon, there's no choice. It sucks, but you've got to do it, man. You've got to rise to the challenge, rise to the occasion, because we are 100% relying on you to be the guy.
Yep, and we did the numbers earlier, 30% chance to fumble. Odds are he's probably going to fumble in Thursday night game. That's probably going to happen.
30% chance that it will happen.
It's not ideal, but you don't have any other options at this point.
No, and the only way he can start to, and for some people he won't. For some people, he's just going to be a fumbler, and it doesn't matter. But the only way he can start to make amends with some of Broncos country is big plays. Got to have big plays. Game-changing plays. Take one to the house. He had a few of those last year, even in a bad year. He had a few of those. Change the trajectory of a game in a positive way, unlike you did when you fumbled and the Raiders took it to the house. Have to find a way to fix it. And now that's the story. There's your narrative. Melvin Gordon. Not Russ. Not Nathaniel Hackett, not Rosberg, not even Garrett Bowles and all that stuff. The narrative is Melvin Gordon. You're at the lowest of lows now. Now we need you to be the redemption story on Thursday Night Football in a must-win situation, in my mind. That'll do it for us. We got Monday Night Football on KFK tonight. Good night, Northern Colorado.